God wants us to bring everything under his authority so that he can rule through us, reign through us in this world. And I find that that's where my contentment is. That's where my joy is when I am doing that. And so once in a while, we just need to get a recalibration because things get in the way. Life happens. Amen? Busyness, activity, whatever it might be, jobs, just things happen. And the enemy is trying to keep us away from Jesus, really. He's trying to keep us away from that walk, you know, that connection to him in the spirit. Because he's a thief. But what the Lord wants us to have is his righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we can't have that unless we learn how to deny self, that we might gain Christ. When I talk about these things, when we talk about these things, right away that flesh says, I don't want to do it. And the stronger you are in your flesh, the more resistance there will be to fasting, self-denial. You know, and that's usually an indication that I need to fast and pray more if my flesh is that strong that when I'm supposed to do the will of God, the flesh is winning out. It means things are out of order. Amen. My priorities are out of order and I have to humble my soul once again before God. And that's the only place where there is life really is in him. That's the only place where we're going to find satisfaction is in him. And people live their entire lives. We used to work with the elderly, you know, back in the day. And you hear a lot of stories and a lot of, you know, what people did in their life and people that traveled the world and people that had it all. And at the end, there was only like maybe a bed and a nightstand, you know, Jane and bureau and everything else has been delegated or given away or lost along the way. And so then it's like, what's left now? I mean, what is there to show except only that which we have done in obedience to Christ? That's the only thing that's going to remain. And so if we are finding ourselves really distracted and that there are so many other things, sports, other things that are just such a priority in our lives, then we really need to humble our souls and we need to get right with God and say, Lord, forgive me. I've left my first love. I've left that place of intimacy. I've left that place where my whole world was enthralled with your love, where everything I did revolved around you, where I wanted to please you more than anybody or anything else. I want to honor you in everything I do. And I'm just so excited to have time with you and to worship and to praise you and to be in fellowship with God's people. And I can't wait for the doors to open again because I know it's going to be so wonderful because I'm going to meet with Jesus and meet with my brothers and sisters and my heart is alive. Amen. In that place of my first love where I'm infatuated, I'm just captivated by the wonder, the glory of him. And Lord, that's what we want. Remember, he said, you didn't lose it, but he said, but you left it. You left your first love. So I'm going to ask Judy, make sure that's running. Yeah. And I should get a water too. Can I get somebody to grab me a water back there and just, I'll go for the long Thank you, Jesus. Just a second, yeah. Thank you, brother. Okay. So let's take a look at real quick these two handouts here. The first one, you'll see it's a personal prayer of deliverance by Derek Prince, and not Joseph Prince. Big difference. Big difference. But Derek Prince. And this is, I thought this was really good because it really takes you through some of the basics If you know who Derek Prince is, Derek Prince does a lot of deliverance ministry, you know. And he does a lot of congregational deliverance. And sometimes you just don't have time to hit every individual, so he just does this congregational type, you know, deliverance. And he takes people through the steps. And you can actually bring deliverance in your own life. God will do it, but if you do certain things, you can position yourself to be set free from any demonic infestation or oppression in your life. And so he just takes it through. I don't want to go through the whole thing tonight, but look at it quickly. Is that number one, you need to personally affirm your faith in Christ. There's two. There's one, there's prayer guidelines and suggestions, and the other one is personal prayer of deliverance. Yeah, I got one here for you. Anybody need okay. Anybody else need one? Okay. All right. Not yet. Okay, so the second thing is that you need to humble yourself. Can you see that? Number two, I renounce all pride and religious self-righteousness and any dignity that does not come from you. I have no claim on your mercy except that you died in my place. Third, confess any known sin. I confess all my sins before you and hold nothing back, especially I confess. And then this is where you get specific about it. And then forgive all other people. Very important that if you want to receive forgiveness, you got to forgive others. Amen. And then you need to break with the occult and all false religion. And he just takes it through step by step of how to do this, how to deal with these things. Prepare to be released from every curse over your life. And we know that Jesus became a curse for us, didn't he, on the cross, that we may be set free from that. Take your stand with God, then expel. Then you take authority over any demons that have control over you. Okay? So I would encourage you to take this first one home. This, for those of you who are listening, personal prayer of deliverance, and go through this, okay, this week. All right? On your own. And then I have some prayer guidelines and suggestions here that are just some things I put together that I think will be helpful in us having a focus during this time of prayer and fasting. And I want to say, because there are people asking about the fasting, I want your fast to be very personal between you and the Lord. Not everybody can fast the same way. You know, some people may want to do a total fast. Some people may want to do a partial fast. What you need to do is seek the Lord about what is right for you, and you make a personal commitment to the Lord, all right? But seek the Lord on this, because it's very important that we give ourselves to the Lord, to take some time to set ourselves apart for Him and to humble our soul before Him. It's not so much of getting God to move as it is getting us out of God's way and getting us in a position where God can then move in and through our lives. God wants to break strongholds in people's lives. And sometimes it's going to require a time of prayer and fasting as well for that stronghold to be broken, that demonic stronghold. Or sometimes people are dealing with addiction or habits that they're struggling with. Fasting and prayer is a great way to get control over your flesh. Amen? Because that's where the enemy operates, is in your flesh man or your outer man. So you need to build up your spirit man through prayer, amen? And then humble yourself through the fasting. And then you are in position, once you have submitted yourself to God, then you can resist the devil, right? And he's going to flee from you. So here's just some guidelines I want everybody to take a look at and consider. These, we need to certainly pray for what's going on in our nation today, those in authority over us. And that the Lord will release his angels to take possession of the territories in which we live and pray. Amen. And then it gives you some practical guidelines also, the types of spirits that we are dealing with, and some ways that demons gain access to people. And then number six, if you look down at number six, we need to ask the Lord for spiritual discernment. Very, very important. Amen. And how to specifically pray for folks. Amen? And then we take our authority in the Lord to bind and strike down these evil spirits in Jesus' name. And it's not just the pastors, the evangelists, right? It's God's people who have been authorized in Jesus' name to take authority over demonic spirits. Amen. So the church is supposed to be equipped. The fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, their job is to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry so that God's people will be fully equipped and prepared and actually doing the stuff. Amen. So together we're workers. Amen. So it's not about just getting a lot of information and being very knowledgeable about the things of God. It's learning how to practically apply the Word of God in our everyday life. Because what we do, again, in the natural has a connection to the spiritual. All right. So it's time for the church. And we're praying for the church in America, for the church to wake up first. You know, judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. It begins with God's people. And the Lord is trying to get the attention of his people. And so we want to pray that God will send revival, not just a revival meeting, but revival. Amen. To the church in America, that there will be an awakening throughout this nation. If the church awakens, then the influence will be restored over the people, over the masses. I believe that God is looking and waiting on his people that are called by his name to humble themselves and pray and seek his face. Amen. And turn from their wicked ways. And then the Lord said, and I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and what? Heal their land. So, Father, we're asking you to heal our land. Lord, turn our nation back to you. Turn your people back to you. Lord, turn us back to you. Lord, draw us back to you. Forgive our sins. Heal, Lord, our broken land. In Jesus' name. I want to take a look at tonight, beginning in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 3. This was during a time of great desperation. They were in Babylonian captivity and oppression. And Daniel, the prophet Daniel, had set himself apart with the one goal of seeking God. And in Daniel 9 and verse 3, it says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So when we speak with somebody, when you are addressing somebody, we usually face towards that person whom we address, right? It's not polite to be looking somewhere else when somebody is communicating with you. And so when it says that he had set his face, okay? It means that he was putting his focus on the Lord. He was setting himself to focus in on the Lord, amen, and to seek the Lord. We're good at asking God for things. We're good at seeking the hand of God. But God wants us to seek his face. God wants us to come into intimacy with him in the Spirit, amen. And so... we have to deny ourselves, to set ourselves apart to do that, to press into God. And I find that as I abide in him, as I get stronger in the Lord, as I get closer to the Lord, it becomes much easier, amen, to continue in the flow of that, of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a struggle, but there are disciplines that are required in our lives. Sometimes to establish a good prayer life, it's going to require me disciplining myself to do it when my flesh does not want to. So I have to rule over my flesh and tell my flesh that you will pray. You will give praise to God. David said, I will bless the Lord, right? And give him glory. All right? He said to himself, soul, you will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. He says, you will bless the Lord at all times, right? So it's something that we need to take charge of, that we need to take charge of ourselves. And initially, it's a discipline, but disciplines become habits, and eventually habits bring you into a place where you are actually enjoying now the Lord, enjoying the fellowship, enjoying your prayer, enjoying your time with Jesus, man. You enjoy being with God's people. You enjoy being in church. You enjoy telling people about Jesus. You enjoy being a minister for the Lord. Amen? Because you're in harmony with Him. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So my responsibility is to take the initiative and say, you know what? I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord. I'm going to set my gaze upon Him. I'm going to focus on Him. So after Daniel had humbled himself, he confessed his sins and the sins of the people, and he poured out his heart in intercession. Then God dispatched the angel Gabriel, if you remember, with the message that he needed. In Daniel 9 and verse 4, he said, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments, we, verse 5, have sinned and committed iniquity. He's identifying himself with the people of the nation, all right? He's not setting himself apart as being more righteous. He's just saying, we have failed. We have sinned. He's taking responsibility. He's taking personal responsibility here. Because if you think about it, as the church goes, usually so the society goes. Amen. If the church is not being an influence, amen, well, people in the world don't know any better. Amen. Once we didn't know any better. Amen. But now that we know the Lord, we should know better. Amen. And it's necessary that I behave myself, not just for my own sake, but most importantly, for the Lord's sake, for His name's sake, and also for the sake of others that are watching my life. I'm going to be an influence on somebody. I'm going to either lead somebody to the Lord or push them away. Amen. So if the church is not living right, then it's going to have an influence in society in that direction. As the priests, so are the people. So he said in verse 5, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. In verse 18, he said, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. Hear it, but because of your great mercies. You know, we have to be careful that we don't become self-righteous and think that because I'm a good person, God is going to answer my prayer. God answers our prayers because of His mercy, amen, and because of the blood of the covenant, hallelujah, amen. Not because of my personal righteousness, but because He has made me righteous in Christ, and therefore, if I am right in Christ, amen, God hears my prayers. So he says, Lord, we're not depending on our own righteousness here. We're not here presenting ourselves as being good, but we ask you for mercy. And likewise, in America today, we cannot petition God based upon our own standard of righteousness. I know there's a lot of good, hardworking, freedom-loving, patriotic people in this nation, you know, but sometimes the good, hardworking, freedom-loving people in this nation are priding themselves in their own personal accomplishments and thinking because I'm not as bad as some people, therefore I'm righteous. If I compare myself to somebody else, I can feel righteous in my own sight. But we are not justified because we justify ourselves. Only the Lord can justify us. Amen? He's the one that justifies us. And so we have to be careful that we don't become, even as a nation, even though there are people that do good things and live good, moral, upright lives, that they're not relying upon their own righteousness to somehow receive credit with God. Because it's the righteousness of Christ that is acceptable to the Father. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. And He makes me righteous. Amen. I pray that God change my heart. Amen. So I do righteous acts. So I live righteously. But I have to be righteous in Christ in order to bear the fruit of righteousness. Amen. My righteousness is not of me, it's of Christ. Amen. So I am righteous in Him, and I can only bear the good fruit of His righteousness as I abide in Him who is righteous. Amen. As I connect to Him in the Spirit, then I can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what we need in America is not to compare ourselves to other nations, to other people, even within the enemy who just wants to cause division anyways and within our country. Amen. Everything's trying to divide everybody up to destroy this country. You know, God wants His people to pull together. Amen. We're one nation under God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One nation under God, and we're indivisible with liberty and justice for all. That's in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. In verse 19, he said, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, what's Daniel doing here? He's reminding the Lord of his covenant with his people, Israel. They were the people of the covenant. A covenant is that binding agreement that God, remember, He made that agreement with Abraham. And so God had promised Israel a land, amen. And that His name would be there, even in Jerusalem. And He's a God who keeps His promises. So Daniel could not come before the Lord with his own righteous acts and say, Lord, look how good I am. Certainly I should deserve something better. But instead he said, Lord, we plead your mercy. But Lord, also remember that we are your people through the new covenant. Amen. Today, you and I in Christ are the people of the covenant. Amen. The Jew and the Gentile has been brought together in one new man in Christ. Hallelujah. And we're declared righteous only because of the righteousness of Christ. Amen. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ today in the new covenant. So we're also people of covenant. And I wanted just to share a few of the things that I shared a few weeks ago during the, just prior to the 4th of July about America's moorings or their beginnings of this nation. And there are many people that think, oh, America was this and America's bad and America's evil and America's done all these horrible things. We don't have a perfect track record. But if you know the true history of America, you'll know that the people came over here were not evil people. They were God's people that came over here because they wanted freedom of worship, freedom of religion. They didn't want to be controlled by a king, amen, who would oppress them and tell them how they're going to worship God, amen. And state-controlled religion, if you will. So they came to get away from that oppression to where they could establish freedom, amen, and religion, hallelujah. And that's why America is so great. And that's why many people want to come to this nation because of the freedoms we enjoy. The enemy hates that. And the enemy's trying to rob this nation. He's trying to take that away from us, amen. Because he does not want America to exist. Why? Because America has been one of the primary nations in the earth to bring the gospel to the nations. It began here. And isn't it interesting now that people are now coming from other nations here, amen, to evangelize Americans? Because we've fallen so far away. But we need to go back and revisit and remember how we began. Go back to that old landmark, if you will, to the foundations. Amen? Christopher Columbus in 1504. Wrote his reason for setting forth to discover a new land to be, quote, I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to undiscovered lands. That's Christopher Columbus. He's not the monster people are making him out and destroying his statues all over the country. Here was a man that came to bring the gospel to undiscovered lands. He was led by the Holy Spirit. When the pilgrims arrived at Plymouth, they formed what is called the Mayflower Compact of 1620. These are the words of the Mayflower Compact, quote, in the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together. So our forefathers made a covenant with God when they arrived on this soil. The Puritans, I believe it was like 15, 17 years later, they formed what's called the New England Confederation in 1643. Do the math. Hallelujah, it'd be, what, 23 years? This was the first written constitution. And the New England Confederation Constitution begins, quote, "Whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same end and aim, namely," listen, "to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and peace." So the Puritans came for the purpose of showing how a nation could prosper living under the laws of God. And that's why America has been so blessed, so prosperous. Amen? It's why we need to be thankful, praise God, that we get to live here. Amen? And but we're going to lose it if we don't wake up. Amen? And return to God. Hallelujah. And then, oh, the Lord will discipline his people. The Lord is looking at his church. He's waiting for his church to respond to his voice and to return. If we do that, then America will be saved. I believe it. And that's what I'm contending for. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing for, is that we're going to have a national awakening. We need a sovereign move of God, amen, that's going to rock and shake this nation and bring people to their knees and return to the God of their forefathers. Jeremiah 18:7, this is how the Lord works concerning the nations of the earth. "The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." So God wants to bless America again. God wants to restore America again. Amen. But it's up to us if we will do the right thing, if we will return to God, if we will repent, if we will turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. I know there are people online, people on YouTube that are just kicking America to the curb and saying, oh, it's beyond help, it's beyond hope, and they're not even contending anymore for the nation. I think that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you just to give up in the fight and think and give it over to him. How many know that the enemy will win by default if the people of God quit resisting him? If we quit resisting the devil, he's going to win by default. And that's what he's trying to do. In fact, he's trying to even flush people out of certain areas of the country. Amen. So that by default, they go into the enemy. They go to the enemy. So we need to stand our ground. We say, wait a minute. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God is on the throne. Amen. God can turn this nation around. God can save nations in a day. Amen. He can turn things around in a day. That's what he did in East and West Germany. In a day, that wall came down. Years and years of oppression and separation. Boom, and one day it all came down because God intervened. There's a lot of prayer that went up. Well, I don't think it's any mystery, but why is it important that we pray and fast? Because our government is a mess. Our cities are spiritually desolate. Sin is rampant. Abortion, sexual perversion, drug, alcohol abuse, violence, rape, murder, breakdown of the families, to name a few. It's no mystery, right? We all know what's going on. How many know there's a lot of talk right now about potential food shortages even in America, of all places? Even Joe Biden himself said that. And power outages. In some places, already having them. In California, they're having rolling power outages. So what could be worse than food or power shortages? How about a power shortage in the church? How about if there's a power shortage in the church, it's going to directly affect the nation? We need to get back to God. We need to call heaven down. Amen. We need to storm heaven on behalf of this nation. God wants to move. But he's looking for someone who will stand in the gap. Someone who will set themselves like Daniel did to seek the Lord and wait on the promise. In chapter 10 of Daniel, we remember how Daniel had the day, that first day he had set himself to seek the Lord. The answer was already on the way. It took 21 days to get through, but the answer was already on the way. Amen. And I believe that God is going to honor this time of 21 days that we're going to set ourselves apart, amen, to really seek the Lord and call heaven down for our personal lives, for our families, for our communities that we live in, amen, and for this nation. Hallelujah. God wants to move again, and he's waiting for his people to get back into position so that he can bless us and make us a blessing. Hallelujah. I say this often, but you know, God is already moving. God is already pouring out his Spirit. Come on. But we have to get in position to receive. And we have to move with him when he's moving. So find out what God is doing and do that, because it's already blessed. Because sometimes we're asking God to bless our mess. And God says, no, I'm not blessing any mess. But what I'm asking you to do is already authorized. Therefore, what I authorize, I will bless. So if we obey the word of the Lord, then our lives will be blessed, because God will bless what he approves of. And he approves of the broken, contrite, humble heart. Amen. Before him. All right. He does not despise that. Daniel cried out on behalf of his nation because of the situation they're in. And God heard and answered and gave him a promise after 70 years, right? There was going to be a restoration, a reformation. God was going to turn things around. And so they had to ride it out. But because of, at least we know one man that stood in the gap. Amen. God intervened. How much more if many of us come together, many of us pray, many of us seek the face of the Lord, many of us call on the Lord. Amen. In fact, Jesus said, if two or three are gathered in my name, amen, I'm there in your midst. What's happening in America, what's been happening is in America, is that the church has been lukewarm. There's been a power shortage in the church. And as a result, our nation's where it's at today. There's many, we have no shortage of church programs, right? And no shortage of Christian entertainment. But what we need is the Holy Spirit of God, amen, to move in power, signs and wonders and miracles, and crush Satan. Hallelujah. And the Lord will be glorified. Hallelujah. That people will bow their knee and declare, he is Lord. People need to witness the reality of the word of God coming through an individual, amen, and directly speaking to their hearts, amen. And they'll know that God is in you. Hallelujah. Our children need a powerful, life-changing encounter with the Lord. Amen. And they need to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's good to teach our children, but teaching is to lead them into an experience with God. Into an encounter with God. Amen. It's not enough just to have them memorize scripture. They need to know the God of the scripture. They need to be so impacted. Amen. And have such an encounter with God that they're changed forever. How many know there's no junior Holy Spirit? God will work through children. Amen. Powerfully. And so we want to lead our children, amen, to that place, hallelujah, where they discover God, that God is real, that God is actually still the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen, Jesus Christ, and that he's still moving, hallelujah, and that God is speaking to them, and God wants to speak to them and reveal himself to them. Hallelujah. I can remember just learning about Jesus when I was a kid. But not really knowing the Jesus I was learning about, except thinking of him as some historical figure. And knowing some facts about Jesus. But to really know Jesus, amen, that's what was lacking. That's what our children need. That's what all of us need, amen, is that kind of encounter with God to where we know that we know that we know. Nobody has to convince us, nobody has to talk, and nobody can talk us out of it, because you know that your relationship with Jesus is real. And that's what I want, Lord. No matter what happens to you, you won't be shaken, because you are steadfast in the Lord. You know your God. You know your God is with you. You know your God is faithful. Your God is going to help you through every situation. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's faithful, just like He promised. And He's going to be with you when you go through the waters. God is that kind of God. As a matter of fact, I say it often, but He is totally committed to His church, to His people. He expects us to be committed to Him. That's what He's waiting on, for us to really discipline and commit ourselves back to Him. He's already committed to us, but we need to commit ourselves back to Him. And that means that I have to learn the discipline of a daily walk with Him and denying myself, taking up my cross. And that's the will of God for me. In order to live out the will of God, I have to first deny myself. 2 Peter 1:3, I love this, one of my favorite verses. God certainly makes available to us everything we need. Everything we need. As His divine dunamis, or power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Wow. There's no power shortage in heaven. God's got everything we need available to us if we'll come. If we'll ask, if we'll seek, if we'll knock, the doors are going to be open. Amen to us. God's going to make a way. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is enough to sustain us through everything that we face in life. But God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to drink. He wants us to eat. Amen? He wants us to saturate our lives with Him, with His presence. He wants us, like Daniel, to set our face to seek Him. And I want to just bring this up because there are certain, unfortunately, there are certain churches that do not teach about the power of God. In fact, some even speak out against the gifts of the Holy Spirit, saying they are not for today. Or even worse, that they are of the devil. How many know that this is actually a religious spirit that would deny the power of God? You may have a form of godliness, but you're operating in a religious, pharisaical spirit if you deny the power of God. And this was the same demonic spirit that operated in the Pharisees who resisted Jesus too. And they were in danger because they were attributing the works of the Lord to the devil. In Matthew 12:22, then one was brought to Him who was demon possessed, blind and mute, and He healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David, the Messiah? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Jesus went on to say in verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. In other words, there's no middle ground here. Either you're with him or you're not. This is where we need to be, with Him all the way, fully committed. Matthew 12:31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. 32, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Either in this age or in the age to come. Mark's gospel clearly defines what blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is, again, attributing the works of Jesus to Satan. Mark 3:28, assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. but is subject to eternal condemnation because they said he has an unclean spirit. I believe a true born again believer will not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, let me say this. If you don't understand something, it's best to be quiet about it. I don't understand everything that happens, but I'm going to be very careful that I'm not speaking out against something that God might be doing that I just don't understand yet. It's very dangerous. Also, be careful about speaking out against God's ministers or his people, for that matter, that are anointed. Amen. Because you're speaking against the Lord who appointed them. To the Lord they stand or they fall. That doesn't mean I have to agree with everything everybody does. Amen. I need to have my own convictions, my own understanding of what the Lord expects of me. And I need to be responsible for my own life, my own walk. Amen. And be an example to my brothers and sisters. But I got to be very careful that I don't place myself in the position of being a judge over everybody else. Amen. And especially if you see a minister or somebody that God has anointed fail, be very careful that you don't speak out against them. The Lord will not hold you guiltless. Mm-hmm. There are those, they teach that God is no longer speaking today. So all we got is just the book and the 66 books, amen? In other words, well, how do I receive? I know God gives counsel. God gives understanding of through the Word of God. Amen. We get to know Him, the living Word, through the written Word. Yes, the Word of, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is precious. The Scriptures are the Word of God. Amen. Can you say amen? So understand this. But to say that God is not speaking or giving any revelation today is a lie. God wants to be the guide of our lives. The Bible is very clear. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will direct your path. Who you're speaking to the living God. Amen. You have a relationship with Jesus, who is the Word. And by His Holy Spirit, He will teach you. Amen. He will lead you into all truth. He will remind you of the things that I taught you. And He'll even show you things to come. That's the Holy Spirit given to us, the church. So God is speaking today by His Spirit. Well, you and I have to make decisions every day. We need to get in our car. We say, Lord, guide me safely. Lord, I need wisdom. I need counsel. I need direction. How I need to make this decision. Come on. You need to know the voice of the Lord through the Word of God, through the written Word. Amen. You can come to know the voice, the heart, the nature, the character of God. So when He's speaking to you, you know that's the Lord. Amen. Because you need to hear His voice. My sheep hear My voice, He said. And I know them and they follow Me and I give unto them eternal life. You know, Jesus sharply rebuked this religious spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:24. He's talking about prophesying. What does this prophecy mean? It's really a spontaneous utterance that God would give us, right? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. This is New Testament. And he is convicted by all. And thus, verse 25, the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. What is he saying? God is speaking. God is speaking through his people. Amen. If all prophesy, we should pray that we may prophesy. Lord, grant me the utterance. Grant me the words to speak. Amen. You ever heard the term reading the mail? Well, they were reading my mail. Ever been in a sermon where it was like they were reading your mail, right? It was like everything was, you couldn't get low enough to get away from that because God had the light on and it was going right into the heart, amen? And God was exposing some things, and it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Praise God for conviction. Praise God that he tells us the truth. Amen. Because it's only the truth that's going to set you free. And you got to love truth. If you love Jesus, you love truth. And so even though sometimes it may be painful because the word is a sword, you know. But it's a good sword. It's a surgical instrument. Amen. And it's going to cut out the things that are unnecessary in our lives so that we'll be pure. Hallelujah. And the entrance of the Lord of his word, amen, brings light. He purifies us, hallelujah, through his word, his spoken word, by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So here it's very clear that as people prophesy, as they are speaking, as God is giving them the utterance to speak, there's going to be an exposure of the hidden things. Have you ever had that happen? Ever talked to somebody about Jesus and they start to get really squirmy because, you know, all of a sudden the light's coming on and they're not liking it too much. I like being in the dark and don't turn that light on too bright, you know. Sometimes we even have people get up and walk out of here because they just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to hear it. And sometimes the demons in them don't want to hear it either. And they're just telling them to get out of there. But you know what? We have to be faithful to God. We have to do what God tells us to do. And I find that sometimes when I do what God tells me to do and I break tradition and I do something a little differently, some people are not going to like it. But I'd rather have favor with God, amen, than with people. I'd rather not offend him, all right? Sometimes people will get offended if you're doing the right thing and you're speaking the truth. Because the truth will offend the soul of man, amen. But again, if you love people, you got to tell them the truth. And it will cost you. God wants his people to be satisfied in him alone. He wants us to delight ourselves in him. He wants us to return to that first love. God wants the church in America to repent of its lukewarmness. You all know this very well, but I'm going to read it anyways. Revelation 3:15, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Why? Verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. This is the problem, isn't it? Choked out by the things of the world, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Again, if the church will repent, if the church will repent, God will spare America. God will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sin, and he'll heal our land. But guys, listen. Now is the time to return. Now is the time to repent. Not sometime later on, one of these days. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God is giving us an opportunity to get our hearts right with him. Because there is coming a day when the door will close. So now, while the door is open and the invitation is available, come. Amen. Come to the Lord. Make your peace with your Maker. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus. So we need to have the same attitude as Daniel. We need to set our hearts to seek the Lord. In Daniel 9 and verse 20, now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. You see, you can't understand unless God gives it to you. And at the beginning of your supplications, here it is, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. You see, God knows when we mean business. Daniel was at a place where he meant business. He was done, amen, with the lukewarmness, with the nonchalant, with the complacency, the apathy, all that stuff. He had to throw that out. He said, you know what? We got to get back with God. The only hope for the nation Israel, amen, is that the people would return. The only hope for America is that the people of God would return. If the church returns, we will be restored. I see that as God will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up on our nation. Amen. I'm believing for a turnaround. I'm believing for some good things that are coming. Amen. Even that which we have already sown through the years, do you think God is turning a blind eye to that? No. I believe that's why it's important that we keep on praying in the Holy Spirit at all times, at every occasion. Keep on praying, keep on sowing, keep on praying, keep on sowing. Amen. For the reaper will overtake the sower. Amen. And the sower, the reaper, as you're receiving, amen, from the answers prayer, because you've been consistent day after day after day, amen, it's going to keep pouring out. It's going to keep coming. Hallelujah. And I'm just praying, Lord, just bring it in, amen, for a great awakening, a great revival to break out in America. Amen. And let it begin with us. Let it begin with me. Hallelujah. All great awakenings were ushered in through prayer and fasting. And many national leaders actually were the initiators of that. We need this mighty outpouring to empower the church, to release salvation, healing, and deliverance to the masses. Prayer and fasting helps humble us again and position us to receive the grace of God that we need. Prayer and fasting is shutting out the things of the world around us and setting ourselves apart to draw near to God. And again, in the time of Joel, Prophet Joel in chapter 1, verse 17, the land was totally desolate. He said, the seeds shrivel under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. How the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless, because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. What was he seeing? He was seeing the devastation as a judgment from God because of the rebellion. Do you understand that these things are happening in America right now? Great droughts, animals, multitudes of animals, of poultry and beef. Yeah. Either being deliberately put to death or dying from unknown causes, or in some cases just from the drought, from the heat. God can turn it around. God can save. God can spare. But we better wake up now while we have opportunity. I think we still have a chance. I still think that God wants to turn it around. And that's why we're going to set our heart to stand in the gap. God's looking for somebody. Will you join me? Let's stand in the gap. Let's seek the face of God. He's the only answer. We need to repent. In chapter 2, verse 12, he says, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing wrong. Or harm, should I say. Yeah. So everyone was called to repentance, from the greatest to the least. The nation had to repent. And God, amen, was going to restore them. And as a result of their prayer and fasting, God gave them a promise of his refreshing in the land. And not only that, but the promise of the coming Holy Spirit. Joel 2:23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. God say, I'm going to restore. I'm going to bless you again. I'm going to prosper you again. And then he talks about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. He said, it shall come to pass, verse 28, afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Throughout the history of the church, wherever God's people humbled themselves and prayed, God has sent a refreshing. Amen. I'm believing for a refreshing. God's will is that no one would perish. But he looks for someone that will partner with him. You and I have given the dominion, aren't we, over this earth realm. So we need to take our position. We need to take the authority that God has given us. And we need to invoke God's divine influence and bring it into the earth realm. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those in authority over you. Pray for your neighbors. Amen. Pray for your families. Pray for your loved ones. Hallelujah. And this prayer and fasting, these are keys to the release of God's power. Yeah, it's time to lay aside every distraction and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to just give a word about the fasting. Everybody's got a different body situation going on here. You need to pray and seek the Lord about that. I want your fasting. We're all going to be praying every night, by the way, at 7 o'clock here. We're going to be meeting every night. Starting September 1st at 7 o'clock, and we're going to just storm heaven together here. If you can't make it every night, try to do the best you can to be here. If you can't, find a place wherever you are. If you're at home, join us at 7 o'clock, okay, in spirit, and pray together with us, all right? And let's all do this together. Let's join our hearts together. Let's come together in these prayers of agreement, amen, that the Lord will hear from heaven. And forgive our sin and bring healing. Amen. Let it begin with us, with our fellowship here, with our communities, with our families, our loved ones. God wants to move, but we've got to get in position. Amen. Because he is moving, but we've got to get in position to move with him. So we've got to get ourselves out of the way. And we've got to get ourselves under control. So when it comes to fasting, it has to be personal between you and the Lord. We don't have to go around talking about I'm fasting. No, it's between you and the Lord, how you're going to do it. Whether you want to do a full water fast or a few days or maybe partial fast during the day, whatever, pray. Or even some people may do fruits and vegetables, whatever. Seek the Lord about what he would have you to do. But what you need to do is to get control of yourself. Get control of your flesh. That's the thing. Because as soon as you say, I'm going to fast, and your flesh will say, oh no, I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up my television show. I don't want to give up my video games. I don't want to give up my hobbies. I don't want to give up my sports. I don't want to give up the food. Oh no, not the food. Are you hearing me? You find out, right, how your flesh is just crying out and saying, no, 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 no. That's the part of you that has to die, and fasting will help you do that. Get that part under control. Amen. So now you are living on, hallelujah, the power of God. Yeah. God will quicken you. God will strengthen you. God will enable you. And you'll find your hearing very clearly now because you're getting the clutter out. You see, prayer and fasting will also break the strongholds and the bondages, amen, that people are under. Hallelujah. There are people that need some things demolished in their lives, amen, some strongholds that are set up in their mind, and whether they're bad habits or attitudes or drug addictions, whatever it might be, God wants to topple these things, amen. He wants to break those curses. He wants to break those bondages. And so prayer and fasting will do that. Hallelujah.